This is Dawn from Plainfield, and this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. If you love the Cubs, beer, strong marginal analysis, internet muscle flexes, and the occasional chicken, this is the podcast for you. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the Ivy Envy podcast. This is the midweek episode, and it's July 1st. I'm one of your co-hosts, and I have Andy joining me through the magic of the internet. Andy, how's your week treating you?
Pretty magical so far.
Well, you know, I try to mix it up and how I introduce you guys and stuff like that. And I was thinking, you know what, really, you hear people say, like, the magic of the internet. If you would take somebody from 50 years ago and show them what we can do because of the internet, I think that is pretty magical.
Yeah. Prepare to be burned at the stake. Right. Wait, did you say 50 years ago?
Right. I'm sure they were doing that somewhere. It is magical, though. It is magical that we can sit. I mean, we're only 50 miles apart, but here we can sit here and talk in real. It sounds like we're in the same room, you know, and just talking about the Cubs.
Yeah, it's crazy once you start to think about it.
Yep. So this should be a shorter episode. The Cubs have only played one game since our last episode on Sunday, but it was a good game. Actually, kind of two, because we recorded during that Cardinals game. So the Cardinals series wrapped up, and then they played the first game with the Mets. We typically record these midweek episodes Wednesday nights, but we're doing this in the afternoon, so... If something amazing happened in the Mets game on Wednesday night and you're wondering why in the world we're not addressing it, it's because we're not that magical.
Right. Yeah. So if Bryant hits four home runs or, you know, somebody hits for the cycle, we don't know.
Yeah. Which, based on how the Cubs offense has been doing lately, I think both of those things are extremely unlikely.
We're hoping for two runs tonight in a great pitching performance.
There you go. So let's kind of get started with that 1-0 win over the Mets. It really felt like the Cubs needed that win. And I'm not a big believer in, like, the must win games, especially in this portion of the MLB season. I saw a lot of people call each of the last two games in the Cardinals series must win games. And I think that there's something to be said for breaking a losing streak and ending that. But as far as individual wins go, there's 162 games, and things even out over the course of a season. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at here. And ultimately, whether you lose five games in a row or you spread those five losses out over a month or a season, it doesn't really matter. And I think where it does maybe matter is factoring into the players' mental well-beings. And I think it goes without saying that it factors into the mental well-being of fans. And, but I think because of how the Cubs were losing in this streak, I think that streak needed to end just because of how they were losing. If they were losing close games, putting up runs and just kind of having bad luck winning, you know, losing a number of games in a row, that's one thing. But when they just suck, that's when you need a streak to end. Even if you still suck during the game that you won, you still need that thing to end. So I definitely wouldn't say that the Cubs have put the issues behind them.
No, by no means. And I don't know. I mean, I think that the Cubs, both the players and the fans, we were feeling like this team is going to be competitive this year. And everybody knows that the Cardinals are the team that the Cubs are going to have to beat when it comes to being effective in the postseason. And in the regular season. And so as they were pretty soundly defeated by the Cardinals, you just got the sense that, you know, it could be like one of those will-breaking type of series where you know, they, maybe their spirit is broken right. when it's that brutal. I mean, they were really only competitive in one of those three games against the Cardinals.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, like you said, it's one thing if they had played very competitively against them, but I mean, they were pretty soundly defeated. So going into the Mets, this Mets series, Tuesday's game really had that must win feel to it, just to pull them out of, you know, from the depths up to feeling like they can be an effective and competitive team again, and continue forward and just sort of put the Cardinals series behind them for now and put the Cardinals behind them for now. I think the series was good in a way for fans, because I think expectations for the season were a little, I don't know, a little lofty. So I think hopefully it'll make fans, at least the rational fans, realize that this is still part of the process. You know, like this is,
well, I think
year one of where we expected them to be competitive, but, and you can reasonably expect them to be competitive, but not necessarily be a team that can beat the very best teams.
Right. Well, and I'm afraid that the fans that get super emotional about a winning or a losing streak like that, or in the other direction, are super optimistic and crazy, have crazy expectations, like think this is the year. You know, those are the fans that have those super high expectations. Those are the fans that kind of like go up and down with the team very dramatically. And so those are the fans now that I've seen on Twitter and Facebook and stuff that are, you know, calling for big trades. You know, you need to let this guy, he's a bum, you know, you get into that talk and it's like, right, man, no, that's not the case.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, it's good to have expectations tempered a little bit, I think, but like I said, I mean, the Cubs can't go through too many sweeps like that. You know, I mean, they still have to feel like they can be an effective team and build for the future. And
yeah, like I said, the wins and losses don't really matter to me that much, because like you,
I don't think like a stretch of three, you know, like three against, you know, important games against a rival have more of an effect than.
Well, I mean, the win loss wise, it's just a number.
Sure.
You know, that a game means no more than any other game. But what I'm saying is I think that it does, getting just kind of their asses handed to them by the Cardinals, I think that has to impact their, where they're at in their heads now. But then I think it also has to impact, like say we face the Cardinals later in the season in a series that really does matter. Say we get into the playoffs and we face the Cardinals. You don't need this kind of stuff in the back of their heads. Like the Cardinals appear to have the best luck of any entity on earth, and things just go their way, and you don't really want your, you know, a team doesn't want their players when playing against the Cardinals to feel like that loss, that upcoming loss, is inevitable. And it's just, yes, okay, how is it going to happen today? Because this is what the Cardinals do. And I would like to see, it'd be really, I think it could go a long way if we could like get a series win against the Cardinals or sweep them, just to kind of put that in our players' minds that the Cardinals are not inevitable, even though not
inevitable. You mean like,
I mean,
unbeatable,
right? Or success for the Cardinals is not inevitable.
Okay. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's a good point. And so,
but it's really hard for us to get into the minds of a player because we aren't players. I mean, we're players, but we're not players. So I don't really know. It's on one hand, I kind of feel stupid saying, oh, this might be in the back of the mind of a player, or this is where a player's head might be right now, because I don't know. I don't know what does 3, 4, 5 losses in a row, does that impact where a player's at in their head? I don't know.
Well, you're right, though. I think it does come back. You know, it might kind of get shut out of their mind, you know, as they play these different teams for a while. But once they play them again, I'm sure some of the memories of it come flooding back. The thing is, the Cubs play the Cardinals coming up next week already.
Yeah.
Starting, they have a series at Wrigley Field starting on the 6th, and that includes a doubleheader, which is a makeup game from a game back in April on Tuesday the 7th. So, I mean, they are going to get a chance to, I don't know, just kind of maybe wipe the memory of that series by playing competitively in this one coming up. And then there still are two more series, I think, against the Cardinals later in the season, maybe in September. So, you know, maybe it's not as big of a deal as...
But at the same time, the Cubs just can't roll over to the Cardinals. Because no. You can lose... I mean, the Cubs are going to be... If things continue the way they're going, they're right there in the thick of things for that wild card spot.
Yeah.
And they're going to need every win. Now, that's not to say that every, you know... Like I said earlier, I don't feel that every game is a must-win game, because I think you're going to lose some games you should win, and you're going to win some games you should lose, and I think that all evens out.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to kind of move on to, like, what's the issue been during this stretch, and I think it's pretty clearly been the lack of offense.
Yeah.
It's been really ugly since that last game of the Twin Series. That was the game that they scored 8 runs in an 8-0 win. That was June 21st. So since then, the most that they've scored in a game was 4 runs. That was the very next day. And so since that game, they have run totals. Since that 4-run game, they have run totals of 1-2-0, 2-1-1-1.
Ooh, yeah. So, and Madden talked about how they need to get their offensive mojo back.
Yeah.
And so
it's really pretty amazing that they've won 3 games in that stretch.
Yeah. Well, and that speaks to, you know, the pitching performances at times have been pretty good. But yeah, so I mean, Madden hired a magician for the before the Mets game on Tuesday.
That's what it's going to take to get the Cubs back on track.
Right. So his thought was that they needed to recapture the magic, I think were his words. But so he brought a magician in.
I don't know. I kind of like stuff like that. I mean, what Madden has done in his history as a manager has apparently worked. And I kind of like this lighthearted stuff. And
I do too. I watched the post-game interview with Kyle Hendricks, and one of the reporters asked him if that was kind of a distraction for him. Like, did it keep him from being locked in on his upcoming start? And he's like, no, I was locked in on the magician or something like that.
Well, you know, especially offensively, something like that to take their minds off of things, whether it's goofy or not. I think those things might be good, because if they can kind of, if individual players are struggling themselves, which they are, they're not just struggling as a team, they're struggling as individuals too. And so if you can kind of like, get past whatever is, whether, I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you can just get back to the basics, like go out there and hit,
then and try to have fun, like get out of your head, not have this like death grip on, I have to do well and I have to do better last week, you know, just kind of get your brain to release that,
right?
Tension.
Yeah. Just distractions might be a good thing in a situation like this.
I think the tension was still kind of clearly there as the offense sputtered and struggled. And they had men on in the first inning. They loaded the bases in the second inning, I think it was. Nobody was driven in. Rizzo, like, he spiked his bat after he popped up. I mean, he was furious with himself. But anyway, you know, maybe the W at the end of the day yesterday kind of does a lot to ease that type of stuff. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned the run totals. I mean, let's talk about men left on base. Yesterday's game, they left 14 on base, but in the Cardinals series, they left 57 on base total over those three games.
That's crazy.
So it's not like, I mean, they are getting their fair share of hits. In fact, in some of these low scoring games, they've outhit their opponents by quite a bit. It's just, they're just not getting the clutch hits. They're not driving in these guys on base. So,
well, and a lot of the hits, if you look at the players that are hitting the best right now, it's Coughlin, DeNorfia, David Ross, Mike Baxter, and Matt Caesar. So you're maybe getting guys on base, but they're not necessarily guys that are, although Caesar hit a double yesterday, but they're not guys that are getting, like, right now, I think it's a lot of singles and stuff like that. So, I mean, there are some small samples in those guys, but those aren't guys that are really bringing power.
Sure. Well, and then, you know, sometimes the pitchers then coming up after, you know, those guys get their hits, like Caesar, for example.
Right.
You know, I think Hendricks left four guys on base yesterday. I mean, so sometimes that the positioning of the pitcher in the order does backfire. Right. But,
well, you gave a scary stat there with, what would you say, 58 runners on base?
57 left on base against the Cardinals.
So Kurt's not with us, but that is that's a scary stat. I have a couple other scary stats, that's too. That's
terrible. Yeah, I can't believe that number.
Yeah. So the Cubs have scored 8 runs in the last 7 days. And in that stretch as a team, they're batting .222 and their on-base percentage is .277 and Ooh. 0 home runs in the last 7 days.
Yeah, that's strange too, the power outage that they're experiencing.
Yeah. So the big bats are definitely scuffling. Bryant, he's hitting .235 in the last week. Castro and Rizzo are batting .190 and Addison Russell is batting .143. So,
oh man.
Yeah, this team has a lot of potential firepower. There's a lot of production there. But when you get those guys slumping, when you get Bryant, Castro, Rizzo, Russell slumping, and when Soler is out, that's kind of what happens. Everybody went out at once.
So. Yeah. So I don't know. I think maybe getting Soler, we're going to talk about Soler, but maybe getting him back, you know, could put a charge into the lineup. I sure would like to see these bats come to life, and I think they will. I mean,
I'm not real confident that, you know, even though they won yesterday's game, I'm not real confident that we're out of this slump, and I'm not sure that the slump is ending today or tomorrow. I think it might take a few days. You mentioned the pitching staff. Man, they have been performing really well. For the Cubs to get 3 wins in that stretch of games, that tells you how well the pitching staff is doing.
Yeah.
Goodness. So they scored 2 runs twice, 1 run 4 times, and they were shut out once.
Man.
And both wins were 1-0 wins over the Dodgers and the Mets. So
yeah, so you got to credit the pitching there on that for sure. And, you know, there's help on the way, too. Neil Ramirez is back now. He pitched 1 scoreless inning with 2 strikeouts on Sunday. He didn't appear in Tuesday's game, but it's great to have him back. And I think the main question mark with the pitching staff is, what about the fifth man in the rotation? So we expect that to probably be addressed pretty soon.
Yeah, the bullpen has been pitching great. They have an ERA of 1.63 in the month of June, and their FIP is 3.01. So maybe they've, you know, benefited from some luck there or something. But if you look at the last week, man, they have been effective. You know, when they've needed to be, they have been. And like James Russell, he's been in 4 games, has not allowed any runs. Mott Rondon and Edwin Jackson have been in 3 games. They haven't allowed any runs. So in the last week, and this is obviously a small sample size for both pitchers, Justin Grimm and especially Neil Ramirez, but I thought it was kind of funny. They've basically been so good that they broke FIP, which is the fielding independent percentage. Just a reminder, it's kind of like ERA, but it measures the things that the pitchers can control, like strikeouts, walks, hit by pitches, and home runs. But in the last week, Grimm's FIP is -0.29. What? And Ramirez is -0.92. So,
well, that's a garbage metric then.
right. So basically, they're just, it's outliers kind of magnified by a small sample size. For example, Grimm's strikeout per 9 innings is 20.25, And Ramirez is same strikeout per nine inning per nine innings is 18, and Ramirez hasn't walked anybody. So
wow.
But so I don't know. I just, as I was looking at stats, though, obviously a negative in any statistical category kind of stands out to you. So, but I guess the short of it is that the bullpen has looked really good, and they've needed to.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's encouraging. So it just seems like the Cubs haven't really put together too many complete team games or complete team efforts this season, where just all phases or aspects of their game are clicking. You know, so it's felt like that in the past quite a bit too, where they'll have a good game pitching wise, but then the bats are quiet. I'd love to see a stretch of games where they're hitting and pitching well.
I can get on board with that, Andy.
You can agree with that? Because I figured you wouldn't be quite into that. You embrace the struggle.
Right. I've seen enough struggle in the last week. I'm ready to move on to other things.
But I guess we've already talked about this technically, thinking that we would see more blowouts by, you know, the Cubs blowing out other teams more often.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of what I'm talking about.
Right. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about with this last week, basically?
I don't think so. It's just been a pretty big downer, as the Cubs have been pretty fun by and large to watch this season. We haven't really had a stretch like this since last year. Right. In fact, isn't this the first, I think this is the first time they've been swept this year.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I read.
That's pretty incredible. I mean,
right.
We're getting close to the All-Star break. So,
So let's try to end this little segment with some positivity. Also, that's the Cubs are 5-0 against the Mets this year.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, they're playing pretty well against some other pretty competitive teams. So,
yeah.
And I think we'll see more from them against the Cardinals in the upcoming series and beyond too. I mean, I think that series was a little anomalous, but
yeah, I think so too. And I think it was just, it came at there's never a good time to get swept. But it hurt.
Right.
That's how I'm going to sum all that up.
Rather them get swept, I don't know. Yeah, it's never a good time, as you said. Right. But
in St. Louis, in, you know, the summer, when we, early in the spring, you know, like you said, when the Cubs weren't putting up huge offensive numbers, we kept saying, oh, wait till it warms up. And St. Louis in June is pretty warm. And I don't know. I think, too, we kind of looked at, I think, I was kind of hoping that Jorge Soler would be back by then. And, you know, I know we talked about that on the episode or two before that, that it would have been nice if we were really hoping that Soler would join the Cubs in St. Louis. And
yeah. So did you find out anything about what's going on with him?
Yeah. So, I guess obviously having Soler out of the lineup, it's not necessarily helping with offensive production for the Cubs. In case you forgot, he sprained his ankle on June 1st. He was in a boot for a while, started his rehab with Iowa this week. And he said that he's a little nervous, but he's getting there. So I would assume that's just kind of being comfortable and confident with his ankle. That's what he's talking about. He went 0-for-3 in his first game back and 0-for-4 in his second. But apparently he made a good defensive catch in one of those games. And that's probably says more about where he's at physically than what he does at the plate.
Sure.
You know, it's more about that ankle than it is like approach at the plate or anything like that. So,
yeah.
I'm not really too worried about his offensive production while he's in Iowa. He said that he'll need 4 or 5 games in Iowa. So hopefully he'll be able to join the Cubs this weekend for the series against the Marlins in Chicago.
Cool. Yeah. I think it'll be good to have him back.
Yeah. So
probably at the expense of like Matt Caesar or somebody like that, but
right. Yeah, that's okay. I'll take Soler. So the international free agency period is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
The signing period starts. So Andy, why don't you kind of get us up to date with that and what the Cubs may do?
Sure. Yeah. If you'll remember in the 2013 to 2014 signing period, the Cubs blew past their pool, their spending pool by a lot, and they had to pay 100% penalty on that, but it was worth it as they got Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez during that period. And those guys are actually putting up really good numbers. Gleyber Torres with South Bend.
Yep.
And then also Eloy Jimenez with Eugene. So we're just now, I guess that's a good thing to tell everybody is you can't like dwell on these guys too much because when these guys are getting signed, they're very young. I mean, I think Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez were like maybe even 16, around 16 when they got signed. So these guys are just now 18 and just now cracking the lowest levels. But still, it's a great way to go out there and grab high ceiling talent and bolster the farm system. So the Cubs then were unable to, they couldn't sign an international player for more than $250,000 last summer because they exceeded that 2013-2014 bonus pool by more than 15%. So the pool that they're working with this year is a little over $3.2 million, and they're expected to go to probably double that. They might pick up some, they might be able to expand that pool a little bit through trades.
Which they did that a lot in 2013.
Right.
If you remember, like a lot of those, like the Reed Johnson trade and all those, like I think the Dempster trade, all those, it seemed like they were involving bonus pool money or international pool money.
Yes. Yeah, that was a big component of some of those deals. For our listeners, if you want, you can look up, there's an article on Fangraphs by Kylie McDaniel, in which actually the Cubs have, apparently, according to sources, that there are about 7 deals already in place. So this article by McDaniel actually names 7 players and the amount that they're going to be signed for. And that adds up to about $7.9 million. And as I said before, their pool is just a little over $3.2 million. Now, the penalty is different. If you remember, they just had 1 year where they couldn't spend over $250,000. But it's changed now. The penalties are now 2-year penalties, which would affect them a lot longer. And it seems like the Cubs are willing to deal with that and just roll with it, partly because there is a collective bargaining agreement coming up where a lot of people think that that there's going to be they're going to implement a worldwide draft or international draft of some sort. I guess the question you want to ask then is, well, you know, are the Cubs going to have some sort of penalty in the draft then, you know, if, you know, the current CBA is no longer in effect, are they going to find some way to penalize them still under the new system? But at any rate, they're really going for it. They're going to blow past that pool money.
Yeah. And these are guys that we may or may not see in the majors in like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. So it's,
which I really enjoy because there's people that freak out about whoever they signed.
You know? Right. Yeah.
And it's for relatively small money. And
sure. In fact, the most that they're going to spend on one player is $2 million, probably somewhere around that. All the way down to, you know, like 300,000, 350,000, stuff like, you know, numbers like that. So it's really, it's like nothing over $2 million, but
right.
So it's these guys that have a lot of potential, but like Corey said, you can't get too wrapped up in it because we might not ever see them play. So, I mean, that is encouraging to see these guys that sound like they had a lot of potential, like Gleyber Torres and Eloy Jimenez, already having success at the lowest levels of the minors. Because it, you know, it was a very real possibility that we would never hear from those guys again.
Right. Yeah. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see what they do, and I'm sure we'll talk about it on Sunday's episode.
Yeah, because we'll actually have names by then, and you know, we could talk for 5 minutes about it, right. About as much as it's worth, I suppose.
Right. Well, thanks for downloading this episode. You can like us on Facebook, ivnv.com/Facebook. We are at ivnv on Twitter, and we are at ivnv podcast on Instagram. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. You can join the Patreon campaign and help this podcast going and improving. Check it out at patreon.com/IVNV. That's patreon.com/IVNV. And don't forget, if you have thoughts on our episodes or if you want to comment on games as they're going on, you can leave voicemail from within the free IVNV iOS and Android app, or you can call our voicemail line. That's 309-517-0624. That number again is 309-517-0624. Go straight to voicemail and we'll include your voicemails. We have one to play at the end of this episode. So thank you for listening, and we'll be back with Kurt on Sunday evening. And if you want to watch it live, you can go to ivnv.com/live at 8:30 p.m. Central. And until then, go Cubs.